This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome along. We're back. It is My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price. Samantha Baines' name is...
Samantha Louise Baines.
Is it?
Yeah.
SLB. Yeah, you know me. How are you, Samantha Baines?
I'm good. A lot of people have a middle name Louise. Apparently it's one of the most common middle names.
Louise or Marie. That's lots of Maries for middle names as well.
Oh, really?
I'm just butting in before I've been properly introduced.
Who is this lady?
The voice of Helen Thorne there, off of the Scummy Mummies. If only the other Scummy Mummy was here. Oh, look, it's Ellie Gibson.
Surprise!
Hooray!
Here I am.
Very excited to have you both here. Welcome the wonderful Scummy Mummies, who do the brilliant podcast, which is called...
Scummy Mummies.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, it's crazy.
And the amazing live show, which is called...
Scummy Mummies.
Like a brand.
We're a multimedia node, Tom. That's what we are. Yeah.
Guess what our book's called, Tom?
It's called... multimedia node?
No, it's called Scummy Mummies.
Guys, thanks for joining me, guys. Now, this initially we have a slight problem, don't we, Samantha Baines? Because we've got two people here and we've never had two separate humans in one episode.
It's quite alarming, overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Helen told us that she had a spicy broth, which sounded rude originally, but it's just something she had for lunch. Uh-huh. I'm excited about what's going to happen.
So what we're going to do, we've talked about this off air, and I had a think, didn't I, while I went for my wee? Because I always go for a pre-podcast wee.
Always good idea,
It's a good way to get ready. And I decided that Ellie, we're going to go through your Amazon account.
Okay. All right.
Because you told me that you've done most of your Scummy Mummy business and buying for stuff through that account.
Yes. All right. I do like a shop. I would say I'm responsible for most of the company purchasing.
Fine.
Yes.
Okay. And that means that Helen can really get stuck in and mock you. And also, that means that we can do a sequel. We'll do Scummy Mummies 2.
Mm.
You know, if this podcast is still going, let's be honest, it's a podcast. How hard is it, guys, to keep a podcast going for more than, 6 weeks?
We've been doing it 6 years now.
Six and a half years, yes.
Do you hate each other now?
No. I mean, we basically invented podcasting.
Speak for yourself.
Why is she like this? No, it's great. And also, because we've been doing the podcast, but we also do the live show and books and Instagram and things like that. So it's actually a lovely thing to do at home. We don't have to leave our fucking house. So it's really nice.
I've been to your fucking house.
I've sat
on the fucking sofa.
Oh, I've got a new sofa. You'll have to come back on the podcast. We've got a green velvet sofa. We've got rid of the chocolate brown leather.
That's a sponsorship money coming in.
Yeah.
I love velvet, right? Because it's not just a comforting material.
Mm.
It's also an activity because you can just gently finger it, can't you? You can just send it one way and then send it the other. I really enjoy doing that. Is that wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
But what about it? But I don't like it if it's hot and you sit down and sometimes you get an impression of your fanny on the velvet. It's very revealing and I don't like it.
It's like the Turin shroud. It's like she gets up and you can just see, it's like a Rorschach painting.
No, it's like bottom. A fanny Viennetta. The layers of...
So if you see it, you just very quickly like, oops,
push
the nap back.
You know, like just some gentle, back and forth motion just to...
But if you are looking for a title for your next book, Velvet Camel could be a great... Do you know what I mean? If you want to go with that for a book title,
that's pretty strong.
That sounds like a brand of cigarettes. That's fine. I'll just get some Velvet Camels, thank you.
So, are you ready? Sam Baines, are you fully logged into Ellie Gibson's account? Are you ready to go?
I am.
Okay, I am. Very sultry. Rather velvet response there from Samantha Baines. And let's crash on into 2006. And Ellie, when did you guys meet, by the way? When did this begin for Ellie?
2013.
13, yeah.
Okay, fine. So you were nowhere near each other at this point.
No.
Ellie, were you performing, doing stand-up at this stage?
No, I started performing
performing in 2013. I met Helen at my third ever gig.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. So you were still a civilian at this point.
I was a video games journalist at this point.
Now, this makes sense because I'm seeing video games. I don't know if you can see this, Samantha. We have the Atari Hits 2006.
Oh.
$29.99 you've spent on that. That was 15th of December, so maybe something a bit Christmassy going on
there. I would have expensed that, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
Totally, yeah.
I expense about 90% of my Christmas now.
I think that's probably for the best, yeah.
Everyone's getting cat suits, basically, for Christmas from us.
Do you have an Atari? Have you ever had an Atari? Was this actually, so this is a PC DVD, this one. So this is one you'd have been playing on your computer.
That feels like a gift. I don't remember.
That's something for
that.
Your dad or your brother, surely.
Yeah, probably. Right. Yeah, I had an Atari 2600 console back in the olden times.
What's your favourite ever console?
Probably the original PlayStation.
Really?
Oh, it was because it made games cool, didn't it? Because it was all about, you know, games were no longer about little plumbers and hedgehogs. They're about Red Bull and drugs. It was good.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
Just like real life.
Yeah.
Red Bull and drugs. I never got into gaming.
But now you want to.
Yeah.
You want to get an original PlayStation, a copy of Wipeout, and suddenly it'll all make sense. I promise you. You'll understand what I'm talking about.
I want to fly around on Red Bull.
On a hover.
Snorting cocaine, shooting people.
Who is Harry Gibson?
That's my brother.
Oh, okay. So you bought him, you bought him some really fancy pants books on the 23rd of February. 2006. It's a gift order, so I'm assuming this is around his birthday.
August his birthday is.
Oh, February then. Why have you got him a gift in February?
I think he's hacked your account, Ellie, and now it's being revealed.
Wait a minute.
What's
happening here? Because you bought Stoics, Epicureans and Skeptics, Introduction to Hellenistic Philosophy.
Yes.
Happy birthday, bro.
I mean, party time.
Talk about a toilet book.
Did you buy his university books?
You probably, yeah. My brother's not very good at admin. I think historically he's asked me to buy him things on Amazon before because obviously it's an impossibly complex task to have your own Amazon account or have any money. So I probably did buy him that for university, yeah.
Considering the topic that he's studying as well, you think he'd have the brains to be able to order The Hellenistic Philosophers, Translations of the Principal Sources with Philosophical Commentary, Volume 1. How much do you reckon that cost? That one book.
Oh, I bet that was expensive.
That
actually.
Sounds dear. That sounds like a $24.99 kind of purchase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Right, how much was it? Because I need to text him. He probably still owes me the money.
Yeah.
Well, you spent on the gift order for him altogether, you spent £55.83.
I'm texting him right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've never saw that money. I'm sure I never did.
And you bought, I think this is a DVD, Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
1996, what is that?
That's a parody of all the movies like Boys in the Hood, and it's of its time.
Samantha Baines, tell us, please, what are you finding out about that?
This has got 80 ratings, 4 stars and over.
Wow. They are, good film.
In case you're wondering, it is a spoof comedy which pokes fun at the gritty reality check films of the 1990s, such as Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society and New Jack City. When Ashtray moves to South Central
Ashtray,
LA.
That's his name, Ashtray. Yeah. Okay.
To live with his father, who appears to be the same age as he is, in brackets, and grandmother, who likes to talk rough and smoke reefer. He falls in with his gang-banging cousin, Lock Doc, who, along with the requisite pistols and Uzi?
Yeah, as in Uzi 9mm. That's
is that
gun.
A thing?
Yeah,
Uzi's okay.
It's arms.
I don't know much about arms. Carries a thermonuclear warhead for self-defense.
Cool.
Will Ashtray keep living the straight life, or will he join up with the Lock Doc's gangster homeboys? And is his romance with self-styled poet Dashiki? Dashiki?
Don't know.
Going anywhere?
I mean, you've seen it, Ellie, obviously, because you bought it. So.
I mean, I'm from South East London, so I was probably looking for films that I could identify with in terms of my own background.
You're so street, Ellie.
I mean, do you have a lot of friends called Ashtray? Is that fair to say?
My eldest child is actually
Ashtray.
Called Ashtray.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Do you think Ashtray in the film has a son called Ashtray Junior?
No, vape.
That's the baby. Oh. Now, before we move on from 2006, go on, Sam.
Kelly has given it 5 stars and said, okay. Okay is the title, and then in the description, okay.
So I said okay twice. Yeah. 5 stars, that's brilliant.
I like it.
Before we move on from 2006, you have bought a book. I don't know if this sums you up, Ellie. I don't want to put words into your mouth. In fact, Helen, you can tell me if this sums up Ellie or not. She's bought a book called Stay Healthy, Be Lazy, An Easy Detox by Innocent.
Oh my God. So Ellie basically has a wing of self-help books. I think she has Marie Kondo'd some of them. But when I first met Ellie, and I, you know when you're first getting to know someone, and I went upstairs to do a wee, and there was just like shelves of, you know, this or this sounds. But I think she does need a help of being lazy, because she's a very organised.
Oh, really?
Very, very organised person.
Oh, are you?
She means uptight. And that's okay. I'm fine with that. It's fine.
You notice there's very... very organised, yeah. So okay. So maybe she needs help with that. Do you remember that book?
I don't remember that book. It might have been research, because I was a copywriter as well. I used to do freelance copywriting, and weirdly I had to do some copywriting for Innocent Smoothies.
Okay. Remember that.
I also, this is a claim to fame, I once wrote the Premier Inn website. There you are.
Ooh.
Yes, mate.
You wrote the content for the Premier Inn website?
Yeah. I think they've changed it since. It was a long time ago. But
that's astonishing.
So it might have been for that.
What sort of stuff did you write about? Like room descriptions, or what kind of... Do you remember any of it? Because I assume it's like reciting poetry. It sort of comes back to you.
Things like, your mum was right, you know. A good day starts with a good breakfast. Oh, things like that. It had to be like quite friendly in person. Do you remember that? There was that trend that subsided a bit now for like talking. All copy had to talk to you like your mate.
Well, that's very Innocent Smoothies, isn't it? That's what Innocent still do now.
Yeah.
You read on the side of Innocent, instead of just telling you how much sugar's in there, it's like, hey, we're sweeter than your pet puppy. And it's like, oh,
yeah. So the Premier Inn one was probably stuff like that. Stuff like, you know, hey, you're in a hotel room. Why not have a wank in a towel? Things like that. Just really friendly, personable stuff.
Oh, isn't that what's those velvet things at the end of the
Premier Inn? Oh, the runners, yeah.
Doesn't some call them the wank towels, those things?
Oh, really?
The wank buffer,
because
or something.
They're slightly harder.
At the end of the bed, because you don't have to get off the bed to grab it.
Velvet. So.
Oh, that's nice. So leave a lasting impression of someone.
Back to the velvet.
Sticks to velvet.
Oh, come on, nightmare
makes it
on
hard.
Velvet.
Yeah. I think you would not come on velvet.
And be that for yourself.
That sounds like a racehorse. And come on, velvet. It's in the name. Come on, velvet.
All right, let's move on to 2007. Now, there's a fascinating order that happened June 2007. Three different items bought. Now, I don't know what was going on in your life at this stage, but these three items together feels like some sort of cry for help. You bought USA, the Lonely Planet Country Guide. You bought the London Mini Street Atlas, so an A to Z, London A to Z.
Oh.
And you bought Diana, Her True Story, in her own words, by Andrew Morton.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
So I would have been about to turn 30, probably having some sort of... This is 2007, did you say? So probably some sort of crisis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did I go on... Why would I bought... I used to go to America, but not the country.
No.
Very strange.
You bought the Lonely Planet Country Guide. Maybe you just like to... Sometimes it's nicer to read those books than it is to actually go to the place, right? No, Sam? You're not feeling that? Okay.
For people who never go on holiday and live in the cupboard under the stairs, yeah, it's nice to read the book.
But don't we buy the...
go to the play.
Don't we buy the Lonely Planet books now just to leave on our shelves and go, been there, mate?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're for, isn't it?
I've chucked mine out there because I've Marie Kondo'd, you see. So
did you lose that in the Marie Kondo...
I think that's gone, yeah, because I don't remember seeing it on the shelf. The Diana book, again, it would have been almost 10 years to the day since she died, so I probably thought, I'll commemorate that by reading a book about how her husband had loads of affairs and she was bulimic. It's what she would have wanted. That's probably what I thought.
Didn't you? Because Ellie has a themed May Day every year.
Yes.
So it may have been for that. Didn't you have a special Diana themed...
Excuse me?
We did.
May Day.
Yes. Yeah. So my other best friend, John Finney, who I met at university, every May Day, we've been doing this since we were 20, we celebrate our love for each other.
Amazing.
We just meet up, and it always has a theme, and the theme always ends with getting incredibly drunk and usually going to a gay bar. But in the day, we try and do an activity. So it was the year after Diana died. We went to Kensington Palace. We went to Harrods first, because, again, that's what she would have wanted.
Well, yeah, it's where she met Dodie, probably, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm. And then we went, and then we went to Kensington Palace and sang Candle in the Wind. So it was a very moving tribute.
So you celebrated your love for each other through a dead princess.
we're big fans of her work.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being, probably Harry and William were growing up, they're probably in Kensington Palace at that stage, teenagers, that evening.
Probably.
And it seems to me, you lived your life. Oh, not again. Not again.
And then, happens. No, other thing, we had a few Royal May Days. We had a Princess Margaret May Day when she died,
yeah.
Where we dressed up as her and Captain Mark Phillips through all the various stages of her life. So there was like a Closter's Hour where we were in ski wear. Then there was Mauritius where I was in a sarong. I think we were both in sarongs.
Wow. Do you still get time to do this now you've got children and responsibilities?
Or is yeah.
This... Oh,
she makes room for it, Tom. She makes room for it.
But it's prioritised.
But he's just adopted a baby, actually. So I'm hoping next year we can still do it. But we'll have to wait and see.
I thought you were going to say, I'm hoping next year we can sack it off finally. But this is very important. Now, we're going to skip on ahead a little bit now. I'm thinking, Sam, we're going to go to 2009 now. And I must admit, Ellie, I'm starting to see the self-help books. Simple Abundance, A Day Book of Comfort and Joy by Sarah Ban.
That's a good one, yeah, that's nice. Every day it's just a little bit of writing about something nice. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Why wouldn't you like that?
That is what's not to like.
Yeah.
What, give me an example. Just like, you know, scrambled eggs
Autumn
are good, aren't
they? Leaves.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah, that is good. I should read that. They Fuck You Up, How to Survive Family Life by Oliver James.
Yeah, can't imagine why I wanted to buy that book at all. Yeah.
I mean, 2010. Oh, have we got kids by this stage?
2010, got pregnant in 2010.
Oh, congratulations.
So that was probably, yeah. That was probably the start of trying not to fuck up my kids. Yes. It's an ongoing process. with varying success.
Yeah. I mean, God, I've given up on that.
They're alive, aren't they?
Just keeping them alive. Yeah.
They're still alive. Oh, look, we've got Cambodia. There we are. Cambodia.
Oh, yeah. Been to Cambodia a couple of times. Lovely. Mm.
Is that where your husband kissed a man that was a woman?
No, that was Bangkok.
All right, sorry. Yeah. Beg your pardon.
Funnily enough.
I feel like there's...
My husband and I weren't together, I should say, when he kissed a man in Bangkok. And he always says in his defence, he did have amazing tits. So, what are you going to do?
Exactly right.
So how did he discover that it was a ladyboy? How did that moment happen? How did it unfold? I mean, we should really get him in.
We were standing
this.
On the other side of the street laughing and going, it's a man. I think that might have been something to do with
it. So you're with your husband, but not with him at this stage.
I spent a year travelling in Asia. And we were mates, and he came out with our other mate, Luke, and they came to visit me, and they arrived in Bangkok, and within 24 hours, my future husband, as I didn't know then, had eaten a cockroach, kissed a ladyboy, and thrown up blood. And it's at that point I probably thought, this is the man for me.
That's amazing.
He pushed all your buttons, didn't he, Ellie?
Oh, he did. Yes. Yeah.
That's the best beginning to a romantic movie.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Be mine. Please be mine.
Richard Curtis.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got an idea.
Oh, and he kissed my other friend who was a girl. But then I think because he also kissed the lady boy, she punched him in the face. So he really had a wild 24 hours.
Wow.
And then Luke,
all this happened in 24 hours?
Yeah, this is all in 24 hours. And then many years later, Luke, the other friend who was there, told this story at our wedding.
Oh, lovely. That's nice.
Pete's parents had never heard this story. So that was, it was a special day.
And now the internet knows. Yeah. You're welcome, Pete.
All right. So what else have we got? July 2010. Look at this, Sam Baines. 18th of July 2010. A Bride's Guide to Wedding Music for Civil Ceremonies.
Aww.
Guys.
She's so organised. But you walked down the aisle to a very cool song.
I was going to say, not that organised. That's 6 days before my wedding. So I'd obviously gone, six days, I need a book. I better fucking think of some music. Just buy some music. And then I must have rejected it because I walked down the aisle to Let the River Run, the theme from the movie Working Girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why? Just because it's a nice piece of music?
It's a great tune, man. It's a great tune. But my mum had never seen the film. And when I told her I was going to, she's like, what music are you going to have? And I was like, it's from this film, Working Girl. She was like, what? So, yeah.
Wow.
But we always said we were going to recreate it because Ellie does look like a
working girl.
Yeah. No, right. Like a complete hoe. No, she is Sigourney Weaver. And I'm like, you know, Melanie Griffith's cousin. So, you know, we could really recreate it.
You should do that.
Working mum.
Yeah. Nice. You should definitely do that. So, Ellie, you got married in 2010.
Yes.
Helen, are you still in Australia at this stage? You guys haven't met yet.
No, I moved to the UK in 2006.
Okay.
But I moved to Cambridge Town. But I moved to London in 2010.
Okay, so you're getting closer and closer to me.
Yeah, and we were literally down the road from each other for many, many years before we met. So
weird.
Yeah, so, I'd moved to Forest Hill, the glamorous, glamorous southern suburb of London.
Very lovely, very nice.
It's nice, a leafy green suburb. But I was not doing the comedy at that stage. I was working for the Arts Council.
Oh, I see. Mm. Okay. Were you married at this point or together with someone at this
point? I got married in 2010 as well.
Right. Look at your parallel lives, guys.
Mm. I know.
I could have lent her my wedding CD.
Well, exactly.
This is it.
It's the great thing about having a CD. It's a physical object you can give. You can't do that with a cloud. You can't waft a cloud towards someone.
I mean, you can do it with piracy.
That's true. You can give me your login as well.
You can email it to you, mate.
Yeah.
Right. It's not the same. Dropbox.
You can't hand it to the DJ, though.
We transfer.
Yeah. I've got to say, guys, very interesting, Ellie. I don't know how you feel about this, Helen. One of the books she's bought in 2010, when you are getting married, this shows this might be a rocky route to marriage. I don't know if you're seeing this, Sam. Committed, a skeptic makes peace with marriage.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so Ellie. She's a questioner, you see.
Yeah.
So anything we do, Ellie always has to, she doesn't go, I'll say, oh, should we do this? She's like, but have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? I'm like, I literally have, but please, let's go through the process of asking all the questions. So
yes.
I can understand it, when Ellie is about to do something very big in her life, she has to be really, really, really fucking sure. So this is good. Mm. Did that alleviate all?
Oh, no, I've still got massive anxiety about the whole thing. I don't know if it was a mistake or not. Yeah, I'll ask him in 30 years.
Well, no, he seems like a keeper.
No,
he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's kissed a few boys, but, you know, that's fine. He seems like...
It's a good sign. His thing was he wanted to just make sure he wasn't gay, you know, because you never know. Mm. So he gave it a try.
Yeah.
He dabbled. Mm. He didn't like it. Here we are.
No, and
or I'm a beard. Who knows? We'll find out.
Maybe we'll find out in 2011 in your Amazon purchase history. How to shave your metaphorical beard. Okay, what else have we got here? We've got a slow cooker.
Oh, is that the tea fowl?
It is, yeah.
Let me tell you. Listen, no, she loves that thing. She loves it with her whole heart. I've heard her bang on about that. It can cook rice.
It's not just a slow cooker. Slow cooker. It's not a slow cooker. It's a 5-in-1 cooker, mate. It can do you rice. It can do you porridge. It can do you slow things.
We've talked about marriage. We've talked about travelling the world.
Yeah.
And your passion levels have been resting at 2. You've just hit 8.
Bang.
Talking about
oh my god, she loves this machine.
We've unlocked Ellie.
Yeah.
It's the rice that really does it for me, mate.
Tell me.
You measure the rice and the water. Yeah. You put it in the thing and you close the lid and then off it goes. And when it's cooked, it cooks it perfectly. Oh. And when it's cooked, it just sits there for as long as you can have it there all day.
So you could run a restaurant.
Yeah, you could run a restaurant. I've thought about it. Mm-hmm. 3 o'clock. Oh, fancy some rice. Oh, I've got some. Oh, 6:30. Rice time. Lucky me. Here's my rice in my rice cooker.
Is there anything better than being alive right now than the ability
rice to see you to see you rice?
Oh my god, you're listening to My Little Butter Toaster with me, Tom Rice.
Hello, my darlings. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, welder. Gotta have a backup. I've been in everything, my darlings, and I've been cut from most things. However, I will not be cut from one thing, and that is my own podcast, Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, where I meet those rarest of creatures, the actors. That's Talking to Actors. Look out for the new series starting soon on The Great Big Owl.
Bum bum, my butter toaster.
You've also bought Pregnancy for Men, The Whole 9 Months by Mark Woods. For you, that one, or for your ladyboy snobby husband?
Yeah, probably for him, I would imagine. Yeah.
Okay. Did he read it?
Or? Nope.
Okay.
Remember it very now. Spine entirely intact.
It's gym membership syndrome. I've joined the gym, therefore I've lost weight. I've bought this book, therefore I've read it, therefore I am a better person.
I can now get
pregnant as a man. That's fine.
Now, what's great about a book, though, is you can put it on your shelf and then you can point to it and make sure other people see it, whereas you can't really do that with gym membership unless you buy, like, the T-shirt.
Yeah. Although it can go wrong. So my friend, she's in her 40s and she's dating at the moment on the Tinder and all that.
Oh god, what's that like?
Oh, I quiz her about it. I'm the really tedious married friend who is desperate to know all the juice.
But our generation, we never had.
No, we did not.
We went to the pub and got fingered, and that was
yeah.
That
yeah, me too.
Oh,
is that my husband?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, best trip to Bangkok I've ever had, and I do have lovely tits.
You do still go to, I'm dating in my 30s, you do still go to the pub and get fingered, you just talk about it before online.
But yeah, she went on this date with this guy and it was really nice, and she went back to his house and, you know, he's making her a drink. She looked in his bookshelf, because that's what you do to judge a person, by the covers of their books.
Yes.
And he had a book, How to Overcome Your Pornography Addiction.
Ooh,
which is not a book I would have left on my shelf.
No.
But good on him for trying to overcome that addiction, because it is horrific. Some people get really bad addicted to
it. Yeah, it's a serious topic, and not necessarily one to be ashamed of, but equally, you should be proud of the fact you're dealing with it, but equally, maybe on for the first date situation.
Oh no, imagine he walks back in the room and she's no, he's like, that's full Partridge opening the drawer, isn't it? Get out of there, come away.
Yeah,
it's like having your hemorrhoid cream out on your bathroom shelf. Like some things you just don't want. You don't want on display. That's not.
I would be fine with my potential date knowing that I had hemorrhoids compared to knowing that I had
an
addiction to porn. Not just that, an addiction to porn that I was trying to conquer. I'm fighting my addiction to porn.
Depends how you met.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe they're like, maybe.
Yeah.
Both work in porn.
Yeah.
All right, good. So 2011, lots of books. Sam, what have you found there in December?
The Michael, like, considering we've been talking about Velvet, coming on Velvet, the Michael Sticky Stuff Remover, 250ml.
Oh! But that was pre my Velvet sofa. What? How strange.
Ooh, what was sticky enough that you required extra support?
I didn't even have children then. Oh, gosh. That's a rabbit hole, isn't it?
Well, shall I read the description? It might help.
Yeah.
Just with some memories. Sticky Stuff Remover's unique formulation is designed to tackle icky, sticky messes on most surfaces.
Icky, sticky messes. Oh. So parent speak, isn't it? So
tackle stains such as chewing gum, sticky labels, grease, tar, glue, wax, wet paint, cum, crayon.
I genuinely looked up there like, what? But part of me looked up like, what? I'm shocked that product exists. And part of me was thinking, no, what's it
handy?
Because that could be good. So here's the thing. Now, I'm just going to very sort of quickly brush through some of the things in 2011, and then we're going to jump on ahead to when Helen arrives on the scene and the Scummy Mummies kicks off, right?
Yes.
But there's a lot of things, top tips from the Baby Whisperer, Secrets of the Baby Whisperer, Pampers, New Baby Size 1, How Not to Fuck Them Up by Oliver James. Again, I think we've already bought that. But
a big fan of his work, yeah.
You got it for Kindle there, so you can carry that book around with you at all times. But there's a sort of dark streak that goes through some of your purchases, Ellie.
Sound like me.
Right, okay, so you've got One Day by Devin Nichols, which of course features a woman who, no spoilers, tragically dies. And then you've got Madeline, Our Daughter's Disappearance, and the continuing search for her. Nice. Then you've got Inconceivable, A Medical Mistake, The Baby We Couldn't Keep.
They put the wrong really baby in the woman. Okay, that was a really good one.
And then you've got Room, which is a story about a mother and a daughter locked in a room.
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
Yeah, definitely. I like it, like the Diana, but I like a sort of slightly trashy, sort of real life story type thing. Yeah. Ideally with a sad ending.
And then she's buying things to calm her down. I mean, can you see the dichotomy here? It's like, why am I so stressed? I don't know.
It's like you're buying uppers and downers. Exactly. Don't buy either drug. And you'll stay on an even keel. That's amazing.
Right. Amazing. Yeah, excellent.
Wow. All right.
Who needs
Sam,
therapy? This Amazon business.
I know. Well, listen,
sorting her out.
Helen, we're going to do you next time.
I'm enjoying this. Ellie's on the pedestal.
I'm just terrified because I've forgotten all these things, all these parts of my personality. Yeah. And I'm worried you're going to be like, what have you got here? Rope, bin bags, a machete. What was going on in 2012? Oh, yeah, I killed a man and put him in the room before Cortina. I forgot about that.
Icky, sticky messes.
Yes, hydrochloric acid. What?
That's why you've got Velvet, to keep the evidence. Oh, my God. Lots of things for a kill room. Did you guys have very young babies when you were first gigging together?
Should we tell them the incredible fact?
Be my guest.
Ellie and I had baby boys born 11 days apart by the same midwife, and that happened before we met.
What?
Fuck me, I know. So there was a lovely Italian midwife in Forest Hill has seen, you know, the back end of us, basically.
Who's really, she knows you inside
out. Stared down the barrel of the scum.
when we had our first child, the midwife was beautiful.
Yeah.
Scandinavian, about 6'9", blonde, absolutely stunning. And it was at the beginning of the process, I was quite distracted. And then obviously birth sort of takes place.
Yeah.
And afterwards, like a week later, we were talking about it and Beth had her name. We Googled her and she was a model. And she was a fucking hand model. And there were pictures of her. I've still got it on my computer. I'm doing this with her hands and she has these massive hands. And the first thing Beth and I thought when we saw this picture was like, those hands, fully into you. They've been absolutely
Swedish. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was a weird moment. So you had the same midwife. God, that's weird, isn't it?
And we found that months after we met.
Yeah.
Was she a good midwife then?
She was all right. Yeah, she was very sweet.
So the story comes off the boil a bit. She's amazing.
Well, she was very into home birth, which Helen was into home birth, so for you that was fine. I had said all along, I would please like to go to the hospital with the drugs and the trained professionals, please.
Home birth means homeopathic birth, as far as I'm concerned. It's completely not going to happen. You've just got to go in and have all the drugs. And that's what my wife decided, and I completely backed her up on
that. Well, I would have been up for that. You did that twice. I did it twice. Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the lounge, blow-up pool.
But I kept saying, massive vagina. Even in labour.
Really, it was a doddle. Absolute doddle.
I kept saying, even in labour, please can we go to... I was going to say, please can we go to the hospital? Please can we go to hospital now? And she kept saying, no, it's not time. She was Spanish.
She was Italian.
I think you had different midwives.
And by the time we got Manuel. To hospital... and then I had to be rushed, because she had left it so late, I had to be rushed to hospital in an ambulance, at which point my husband, for some reason, had to tell me that it was too late for any drugs. Mm. And he said at that moment, a shadow cut fell across my face, and the likes of which he had never seen, and he knew something in me had changed forever. So that was a nice moment.
Did you have gas and air?
No, because it made me throw up. So I had no drugs, no gas and air.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You had literally nothing?
Yeah, nothing.
Holy shit, you're a hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And when we walked into the room in the hospital, they were playing Living on a Prayer. And my husband was like, oh, great. And I was like, turn it off. So, yeah, it was a good time. It was a good day.
And do you struggle to hear that song now?
It's no, we sing it in our show. Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
But not in that context. We've changed the lyrics.
I don't
lyrics.
Give birth in our show. That, well, no. That's an idea, isn't it?
No, we could do that.
Yeah. I do give birth in our show. I give birth to baby Rick Astley.
You do?
This is a great advert for the show. You've got to come and see the show.
Amazing. But again, that choice has been carefully interrogated before you put it on stage, right? As discussed before. You know exactly why, what the logic is of you doing that.
Yeah.
I've never had a baby.
Yeah.
Does the for a home birth, does the blow-up pool go in your vagina?
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. That provides the cavity for the birth canal. No, you blow the pool up, and then what you put on is a liner, a plastic liner, and then you fill the water up.
Why do you have the liner?
Because it gets... Do you really want
for
to know...
For the poo and stuff?
Yes,
surely you won't keep the pool afterwards. You could just throw away.
No, the kids can use that as something in the summer.
Get stuck in. So that's why you have the liner, and you just pull it up. You know, like you put a liner in a bin, and then you put the bin in the... the liner in the bin.
Imagine a bin, but worse. Yeah. That's what you're looking at by the end of that.
Like a excretion soup.
Imagine a bloody minestrone.
Yeah.
Did you keep the pool afterwards?
Yes, we kept the pool so you could use it in the summer.
Did children play in your birthing pool?
Yes. Does that not...
That's okay.
It's not a toilet.
A birthing pool. I mean, it's literally a blow-up pool.
It's just a blow-up pool with handles, right? And the floor was inflatable. So if you can imagine an inflatable pool that had like a spongy floor. So when you were kneeling on all fours, it was very comforting. It's very nice.
What's the best position for popping a baby out?
On all fours.
I know it doesn't pop.
Yeah, on all fours. That's how I birthed.
I was about to answer that question, and I thought, no, I don't think I can.
I think you're fine,
but
Tom.
The answer is all fours. Yeah. I can definitely confirm having witnessed it twice.
Yeah. Because in Call the Midwife, which I was in one time, I didn't have to birth. They always are lying on their back.
Which is the olden way of thinking.
That was convenient for the male obstetrician rather than the efficiency of the woman. So the stirrups was a very much a sexist thing because that was easier for him. It was at head height and arm height rather than what was best for birthing.
Oh, fuck those guys.
Absolutely fucking
lonely. Apologies, but when will someone think of the obstetricians?
I know, right? they've got golf, they've got weekends they need.
We've got to crack on. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead. Sam Baines, are you with me? We're going to go to January 2013, and it's happened only for the third time on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Congratulations, Ellie Gibson, you've bought a toaster.
Oh, hello!
We play a special sound effect for that. Well done. Ding, ding, ding. Dings all round. You've bought a toaster on My Mate Toaster. I mean, you've completed it. Congratulations.
It's a fucking good toaster as well, isn't it? Tell you what's good about that toaster, which I've still got. It's a little bit... First of all, it looks a bit like a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. because it's got a little light around the bottom of it that starts out when you put the toast.
Well, like a chav's car.
No, like Dane Baptiste's bed.
Dane Baptiste's bed. Yes.
Has he got a light up bed?
Yes, he's got a light up bed.
I haven't listened to his episode yet.
Don't
I love
pretend
him.
Like you don't know. So it was the last thing we got to. Yeah. I was sort of getting towards the end of his episode. I was like, oh, I can't think of anything good to fit. Oh no, he's got a light up bed.
Amazing.
Oh my god, that he bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yes. Like not just perusing the shop. Like this late night purchasing. 100%. That's what I need. Yeah.
So this toaster, this is going to blow your mind. Yeah. So you put the bread in. Obviously, that's how toast works.
Standard raw toast.
And, and then you press the button, and the light around the bottom starts out blue, and then it moves to purple.
Oh.
And then as the toast is about to pop out, it turns red.
What?
Yes, bitches.
A traffic light system for toast.
Yes.
Why do you need that much warning?
So you know exactly when to pour your tea.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Or scramble the egg, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Grab the butter. I mean, all the options are there for you.
Yeah.
That wonderful. Kind of warning
oh,
system.
Oh, I need a wee. Oh, it's only on purple. I'll go for a wee.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's red. I can't have a wee. I have to eat my toast while bursting.
And someone could say, like, Mum, is the toast ready yet? You could be like, purple. Just a colour-coded system.
They've thought of everything, these guys.
Genius.
What you could do while you're waiting for your toast is the order you placed just before the toaster. Oh. The Zafu meditation cushion, 100% organic cotton.
Yeah, what is a meditation cushion?
So, how is that different to a normal cushion?
I don't know.
It's round and it's really solid. So you put it under your bum and then you sit cross-legged. It's, if you're not very good at sitting cross-legged, if you've got bad back or whatever, and it just lifts your bum up off the floor. And boom, there you are, meditating.
It does sound like a cushion. If I'm honest,
I'm not the hearing... whole soft.
It's
and
not.
Lifting.
It's not soft. It's not.
Oh, is it like a yoga block?
It's almost like filled with sand or like really dense beans or something.
Or snake oil.
So yeah, or snake oil. Yeah.
So you could use it if there's a flood.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Two for one. So it's like your slow cooker, rice and porridge.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah,
scenes.
It's good. Yeah, no, I like it. I just still do meditation. It's good meditation. Don't really use the cushion. I think I've got rid of the cushion. Because weirdly, like you say, perhaps you don't need a cushion.
Yeah, you can just sit on a different standard cushion, really.
Yeah,
when did you get into the meditation thing? When did that happen?
Back then, I was probably doing mindfulness meditation. I do transcendental meditation.
Really?
Which I can't say without saying it in a sort of Russell Brand accent.
that's the effect. He's so literally branded meditation.
Yeah.
We all go a little bit Russell Brand.
Yeah, exactly. But and that's what he does as well. So I started doing that when I was pregnant with the other one, mm-hmm. as we call him.
Yeah. Lovingly.
2015, it's about 4 years, 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember you went off on the course.
Yeah.
She has a secret word that she says in her head. She can't tell anyone because it's secret.
No way.
Yeah, they give you a mantra, but you can't tell anyone what it is. And you don't say it out loud.
Jibber jabber.
I like to tease with it. I'll be like, today's the day I'm going to tell you. It's knickknacks.
That's amazing.
It's so... come on velvet.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what you want to say 20 times in your head. No, so, I'm fascinated. But Ellie, we now just call it jibber jabber.
Yeah.
Because Ellie, if we're on tour, she's like, I've got to do my jibber jabber. And I'm like, that's fine. Have your time. I mean, it may be a euphemism for wanking. I don't know. But she gets to have the room for 20 minutes.
So you have 20 minutes.
You're supposed to do it 20 minutes twice a day.
Wow.
Which
it's
is
quite a lot.
It's quite a lot.
It's a big
so
ask.
I don't manage that every day by any means. But right. I try and do at least one go a day.
Have you jibber jabbered today?
I have. Oh, I woke up this morning and did my jibber jabber. Yes.
I know, right.
Can we make a deal? Right,
okay.
This is a bit morbid. When you're about to die,
okay,
and you're on your deathbed, and Helen will be there,
yeah.
Can you just go, like, your last word will be the word. So the last thing you say before you move on from this earthly plane.
Yeah, all right, why not? Nothing
don't, take,
to
don't take it with
nothing
you.
To lose
do you know
at that
mean?
Point, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Lose,
and Helen, when you get it, can you text me?
I will. Definitely.
I'll tell all the listeners. Okay. I mean, it's not going to be for a long time, Ellie.
No. We can't kill her off too early in the series.
No, exactly. She's required.
I will tell you, this might be too dark, but there is one person who I've said it to.
Oh.
Because when my second baby was, he was 2 months early, born 2 months early, and he was very ill in hospital. Oh. And I was there a lot, and I used to cuddle him, and I used to... And you know when you're like in a really desperate situation, you'll do anything.
Yes.
And I used to say the little word to him in his little ear, as if that would magically help him.
It's worked.
And it worked.
Fine.
Yes, and now he's five. I appreciate how mad that sounds, but in my defence, when you're in tragedy, you are a mad person often, I find, anyway.
Mm. I don't think that's mad at all. I think that's absolutely beautiful. I love
so
that.
So he knows, but of course he can't remember it because he was fucking 4 days old. So the secret
One day,
is still safe.
You're going to be able to torture him with that.
Oh my
when
God.
When your kids are desperate to find out what your jibber jabber word is, you're like,
Rumpelstiltskin.
I've told you.
Oh, it would have been amazing if it is Jibber Jabber.
It was Jibber Jabber all along.
I knew it, Ellie, I knew it.
22nd of April, 2013, two Margaret Thatcher masks. Is this when Helen came into your life?
This was a May Day. That was for Margaret Thatcher. May Day.
Yeah, the May Day.
Yes. We ended up wearing those in GAY bar at 3 a.m, dancing round to Boyzone as Margaret Thatcher. I remember it well. Happy times. Oh, that's right. We went to her. We went to where she. We tried to go and piss on her grave.
In the Ritz.
But they won't tell you where she is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because too many people are pissing on
it. Yeah, too many people are trying to do it.
It's a toilet for.
It's just become a toilet now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is her? Whereabouts is it?
Like it's in the, where the Chelsea pensioners are. It's in the grounds of the Chelsea pensioners hospital. We went there, yeah, but we didn't go there. When I said we went there, we did try and go there, but we weren't allowed to go there.
Wow! Yeah. Imagine if there's just some random like grave with like Melvin Thatcher on in that graveyard,
covered
in piss. Just the family, like poor Melvin. We're just trying to visit him.
Melvin's dead. I don't think he minds.
No.
You spent £7.16 on those two masks. So you know.
I'd buy them again, yes. You know, of course, under a Labour government, they're much cheaper.
I tell you what, things really kick off. I'm skipping on ahead now, Sam, because we are running out of time.
Okay.
2016, 158 orders placed.
Oof, this is when Scummy Army starts ramping up.
Yeah.
It's really kicking off now. 6th of May, 2016, $24.99 on Smithy's Fever Catsuit and Zip-Up Gold. Medium.
That
I wonder if that was the first one we ever bought. Because that's our signature look now, of course, the gold catsuit.
The Smithy's gold ones were the first edition of the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit, when I think of you guys, I think of the gold thing. That's your brand, guys.
Yeah, that is.
But you sent it back. It says refunded.
Oh.
What happened there?
I don't know.
What went wrong?
Wrong size?
I don't know. There were times not where really I was a bit tired and I ordered like four of the same things. But so we now have custom built cat suits.
What?
Hello.
Yes. So one morning we had to measure each other, and there were 26 different measurements, like, you know, under boob, arm length, inner thigh, and there was one bit where Ellie had to literally measure my inner thigh from ankle to, you know, flaps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we were in a travelodge.
We were in Cambridge in a travelodge in a room overlooking a Nando's.
Oh, I mean,
one of the most erotic
experiences
of my life.
First time she's touched me in so many ways.
You were looking at the battered chicken.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
It was peri peri nice.
Perineum nice. That is exquisite. Oh. What an image that is. But that is an image of comics on the road, isn't it? That's the sort of nonsense we end up getting up to.
Oh, fucking. I don't know. After this, we've got to do some ad in the toilet for. Yeah, so anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, the things that we've had to do on the road is ridiculous. And we had to do stuff in front of each other, like wee-wees in a sink, in backstage.
In a sink?
In a sink. She can do it anywhere. She can fucking piss
for
England.
Do it in the sink. Could not let go. Yeah.
Oh, I was like a mollusk. It, just sucked in. It was terrible. Oh, but I'd hooked my leg up to do the pee in the sink. Ellie was being very discreet. She just stared at the wall.
Were you crying at the time?
It was awful. It was half time. I'm hoping that man didn't come in. But I really needed to, you know, hose one out. But it didn't happen for me, Tom.
Why were you performing somewhere without a toilet?
I don't know what you know about comedy and the salubrious venues that we play in, but yeah, it was sad.
Mine always have toilets. Just saying.
God, you're such a diva.
All right, Mariah.
Hey, you know what we've got on 13th of November 2016, and this is a testament to how fucking great you guys are. Your book, Scummy Mummies. You've bought your own book. Someone's got to. Also, this is awkward, Ellie. I don't know if you know about this. Scummy Mummies, apparently, according to this, is written by Helen Thorne.
Oh, wow.
One name on the...
and Sue. Other.
Okay. I actually have my name taken off because I'm ashamed of it.
I see. Let's just call you Et Al from now on. That's amazing, though. How many books have you done, though? Just the one?
Just the one. That was enough. So cool. Yeah, it turns out they're really hard and they take a long time and you don't get enough money for them.
But hey, Sam Baines, good luck with your book.
Thank you.
It's great.
Book is out.
It was good. And also, it made us sit down and we had to write every week. We had a real deadline.
Yeah.
And there was heaps of jokes that we've like kind of fished out of it to put in our live shows. And that wasn't such a bad thing.
There you go, you see.
It's never wasted. It's never wasted writing time.
Of course not. So let's skip on ahead now, guys. Very consistent. 2016, you bought 158 items. God help us. 2017.
She's single-handedly holding up the economy of the UK.
Yeah. So, it would be if Amazon paid any tax.
Not the tax system, exactly. You paid for zero hospitals. 2017, 159 orders. Jeez, she is organised.
Spendy. That's the money coming in, Tom. You can see the success of scummy.
I know, I can see that. But we've got very similar tastes in like, fucking how many chargers and adapters and wires. And also things like The Bridge, all three seasons of The Bridge, greatest
fantastic.
TV show
ever
made.
Yeah, one of my hobbies is leaving chargers around. So I do have to, it's quite an expensive hobby, but I enjoy it.
And then I can see that your kids they've got some sort of Android device, maybe it's a Kindle device, I don't know, but there's loads of apps being bought.
Oh, that's definitely my kids. That's absolutely my kids. It's not me.
Not
it's
you
my
at all.
Kids.
Definitely no. the kids. To be clear, that's the kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not you.
Clearly doing very well for yourself. You bought the hands-free, battery-powered tin can opener.
Whoa! Oh, it's wicked. It is wicked. It is so good.
It's like gadgetry and domesticity at the same time. It's amazing.
You literally just put it on and it goes... and then the tin's open and it's like not sharp and it's just magnetised, so then you just pop it in the bin. It's spectacular. Get yourself one of those and a rice cooker. You don't need anything else.
Oh, Ellie, you're
Should
changing lives.
Should we need a review for it?
yeah, let's do it
on your account.
Brilliant.
Yeah, go on.
So what are we going to say for this review?
Yeah, the best thing that's ever happened to me, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more tuna sauce on my velvet couch.
Oh. Yeah, good.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, it's fine.
No more.
I love tuna, but it is the delicate opening of the tuna can. You can go either way.
Get yourself electric can opener, mate. Absolutely.
So do you avoid?
Solved.
Yeah, but how do you squidge off the tuna juice?
What do you mean?
Well, because
I always do it like a three-quarter turn,
and then use what's left,
and then squeezed in.
Because if you do a three-quarter turn, you've made yourself a little hinge there.
Yes, exactly.
Control
and
the
then,
squidge.
Yeah.
Whereas if you take the whole thing off,
you can't.
Suddenly you've made a bit. It's dynamite.
Why don't you just hold it over the top?
No, you're not going to get enough.
No,
out if you do
no,
that.
No.
You
don't
to put
get
pressure.
It. You need a leverage.
Why don't you just buy no drain tuna?
No,
because
it's not
bad for the environment.
It's not as nice.
Is it not
bad for the environment? No, I haven't got a fucking clue. I had to say something. That's what, if I'm ever in an argument like that, I just say because it's bad for the environment. That's where I duck out of the argument.
Yeah, that's your wild card.
Bad for the environment.
Why aren't you a racist? Because it's bad for the environment.
yeah, exactly that. Exactly. So what are we going to say for the...
The best thing that's ever happened to me, no more tuna sauce on my velvet couch. Sure, people said to me, buy no drain tuna, but it's bad for the environment.
Amazing.
I love that.
We're there. Perfect.
Yeah, so
five stars.
Racist.
Title.
This is so fun.
I don't know.
Yes, we can.
Oh.
Open or
yes.
something.
Yes, we can.
Brackets, and open brackets.
And yeah. I put can in capitals. Yes, we can.
It's what Obama would have wanted.
Yes.
I want to be remembered.
Listen, I'm jumping on ahead, Ellie.
Go.
And we've seen so much about you, so much about Scummy Mummies. But
Thank
Helen,
you.
We will come back to you. We will revisit.
It's fine.
If you're happy for us to do so.
It's all right. I feel like when you're at the pub and like, no, one of my friends will kiss you. Don't worry, I'll come back for you.
Don't worry, you'll get your turn. But in the last few months, some fascinating things. For example, 30th of September, Wig Me Up, the Ladies' Men, back to your husband again, clearly. Halloween, Carnival, Curly, Wild Long, Massive Volume, Brown, Hard Rock Metal, Wig.
That's Ellie's one, yeah.
Uh-huh. The Boland 86060 Adult Pop Rock Mullet Long Haired Wig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This tells us a lot about what kind of gig we're going to see when we go and see the Scummy Mummies.
It's like Shakespeare. It's very RSC.
It's you know, sometimes it's like, shall we write a joke or shall we buy a wig? Buy a wig.
Just always get a wig.
Yeah.
We need a punchline. I'll go to Amazon. okay, here's what I'm going to do, guys. We're nearly done. Thank you so much. We've learned so much about you.
Thank you.
And Scummy Mummies. We'll just go very quickly, though, at the end of the episode to the wish list, because we've looked at the past.
So
let's see what's still to come. So if you look at ideas for Cat.
Oh, yeah, that's my friend Cat, yeah.
Okay, edible anus chocolates.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. Giggle Beaver inflatable Willy.
She's a very close personal friend.
I see. The joke fake teeth set. Is she quite wacky, Cat?
She's a bit wacky, yeah.
She's
yeah.
out there.
And it's her wedding, actually, next summer. So this is really good. I'd forgotten I'd made this wish list.
Spencer and Fleetwood, candy nipple tassels. I'm glad that life's heading in the right direction for you, Ellie. This is really pointing towards positive things. It's brilliant.
No more self-help, just anus chocolates.
Yeah,
fine.
That's all you need. listen, Helen and Ellie from the wonderful Scummy Mummies. And you're on tour at the moment, right? You're gigging as we speak, practically.
Exactly right. We're never off tour, Tom. Okay. And we're gigging up until the 19th of December this year. And then we're already booking for 2020. So.
Oh, wow, amazing. Go and see them live. They're brilliant.
They're amazing. ScummyMummies.com. They're amazing. I've just reviewed myself.
You third person. You third person.
Yeah.
Sam Baines. Thank you very much indeed.
My favourite thing has been the chocolate anal chocolates. And in case you're wondering, Captain Crunch said they weren't quite right. 3 stars. Also, you can review this podcast where we talk about things like anal chocolates.
That's right, exactly.
On all your good podcast providers, please give it
eight stars. Give us 8 stars. Give them 8 stars. We're all talking about ourselves in the third person.
Please give them 8 stars. And follow us on Twitter at ToasterPod.
Amazing scenes. Thank you very much for coming. We'll be back soon with more My Mate Bought a Toaster. In fact, we'll be back one day with Helen. We were going to...
It's all right, Tom. It's fine. It's fine.
You get ready for that. We
empty
will,
promises.
No, no, I promise. We will. We will. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
GreatBigOwl.com. My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.